So the topic tonight is Chil Hashem. When people aren't masking and they're seemingly putting other people in danger, there's a COVID uptick in certain areas. So some of these areas are populated by certain Orthodox populations that don't see a need to mask, and they're rejecting seemingly near unanimous view of the infectious disease experts at the CDC. So how do you view that? Is that a Chil Hashem? People who rioted when, de Blasio seemed to single out the Orthodox groups as the cause for the uptick, and that they're creating a double standard when supporting gatherings of protesters over weddings or religious services. And maybe it's questionable whether there's a need for further lockdowns. So the question is, that I want to sort of go through, is rioting allowed? Or is there any allowance in Judaism, for that matter, for civil disobedience? Okay, so that's sort of the question I want to discuss. How we view Chil Hashem if you disagree with, the government, and maybe if you're justified, where do you draw the line between Chil Hashem and civil disobedience? So first, I want to sort of speak about what's Chil Hashem. So, Chil Hashem means you're desecrating God's name. Rav Lichtenstein has a very broad definition of Chil Hashem. Rav Lichtenstein, he said the following. He says, on a purely halachic level and not on the mystical level, man possesses the power to exalt God's name, or God forbid, to lower it. As daring and paradoxical as this may sound, God's kingship is a kingship upon which we have the power to impact, and not only on its external status in terms of how people relate to it, but even inherently. The sanctification of the name, or heaven forbid its desecration, involves more than positive or negative publicity, the creation of an impression, building a popular image for the Almighty, His world, and His values. Kiddush Hashem means affecting the very essence of that shame, which as it were contracts or expands according to our behavior. At times we add to the name, while at others, when committing a transgression, we detract from it. Anytime we do a mitzvah or commit a sin, we are sanctifying or profaning God's name. So, you can look at, I think there are different ways to look at Chil Hashem. You can look at Chil Hashem as simply, you do something bad, then that's bad publicity for God, because we're supposed to be God's chosen name. So we sin, so we're inherently, we're contracting God's great name. We say Yiskadav Yiskadashim Erabah, when we say Kaddish, may God's name be made greater and whole. Every time we do a mitzvah, we're,
Only in public, or if someone sees you.
I don't know. It's not. I don't know. He doesn't say. There's something called.
Why would it be in private?
Like, because we believe that we are sanctified. We're doing God's will. You're talking.
That's more mystical. That's more.
Okay, fine.
I'm okay with that. I think he's not talking about
that. He doesn't say. He just says, when we add to the name, he just says, it's more than negative publicity. It's the building a popular image. So maybe. Could be.
I thought his first line was...
As there, God's kingship is a kingship upon we have the power to impact. I'm not sure. If it's only... even that when we're doing something that reflects the will of God, that's a Kiddush Hashem. It might be mystical. It might be... We say, Yiskadav Yashmei Rabbah, so we want... Every time we do a mitzvah, then... We're fulfilling the world is a better place, right? It's more mystical, I think, that approach.
Yeah, I always understood Kiddush or Chil Hashem as in public.
So we're going to see what's very clear. What's very clear? I'm going to read to you some Rambams. I'm going to read to you some Rambams. Okay. So the Rambam, he's
well, it affects you as well.
So that's what I'm saying, right? You represent. You are a living. You're impacting. You're one of God's creatures. So, God of creations, you're doing good. You're supposed to partner with God to do good in the world.
Right. We talked about like mitzvah goer.
Yeah.
Like it could cause you doing something good. Could cause you to do more things
right.
good.
So, right. But that's
okay. So let me read the Rambam. Okay. So the Rambam focuses on specific crimes which are real Chil Hashem. The Rambam Hilchot Yesodei Torah Perek Hey Alocha Aleph says that all Jews are mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem Hagadol. And they're obligated to be make a kiddush Hashem and musar mishal lachalo, and they're command warned not to be machalo shev Hashem. And then in halacha dalet is v'chol misha nomar bo yehareg va'yavor va'avar v'lo derag harez b'chal shem. So he says, if basically there's a halacha of yehar v'yavur, you're supposed to die at God's name, and you violate the sin, and you violate the sin, you don't die, so then you are b'chal Hashem. It's not talk about b'rabim. The Rabbim also says, if you do it b'rabim, then you're b'chal Hashem b'rabim. I'm just telling you, that's the lashon. So you can't be b'chal Hashem b'yachid. It could be someone else sees you, maybe. But in halacha yud, the Rabbim says, kol ha'over midato below ones, alachas mikol mitzvos haburos b'torah, bishaat b'nefesh lahach is, harez b'chal Hashem. Anyone who commits a sin without being forced, with bishat b'nefesh lahachis, he acts contemptuously. He sins lahachis. What's the difference of a leteavon lahachis? Leteavon means I like this non kosher food better than this kosher food, so I'm going to eat the non kosher food. Lahachis means both foods taste the same, but I don't rebel against God. And he says that's machal Hashem. So that's clearly that's not barabim. That's simply a chil Hashem. It's a desecration of God's name. Well, the fiach demar b'shvo sheker, also by shvo sheker, swearing falsely v'chilat es shem elokech adi Hashem. And then, so there could also be chil Hashem that's not barabim. And then you have this other halacha yud aleph, which is I think very significant for idyot adiyah, our topic. The rabbi says v'yesh tvar b'chayrim shehed b'chal chil Hashem. There are other things that are also part of chil Hashem. V'ushiyasa osam adam gadol b'torah. That's where someone who's great at Torah and he's well known to be pious. And he does things that the masses of people that they scream out against them because of them. Even if they're not sins, he's profaning God's name. Let's say he buys something, he doesn't pay right away on credit, and supposedly the implication he should pay right away, and he doesn't. The sellers are there, and he's really supposed to pay, and he doesn't, and he has the money. Or you're a chashev person, and you hang out with, and you too much time, laughter. Levity, too much eating or drinking with ignorant people. Obviously, if you do it for cure purposes, maybe something different, but I guess in general, okay. He doesn't speak nicely to other people. He doesn't speak to them nicely with a friendly face. You speak, you're someone who's a quarrelsome person, you're full of anger. And similar to these things, he says, it all depends on the level of the person. The more that you are someone who is a greater person, so the more that we're concerned, the more you're concerned about potential chilul Hashem. Okay? And this is based on a Gemara in Yoma, Daf, I pay Vav of an Aleph, where we said that someone who serves Tamini Chachamim, and that someone who's basically a scholar, and he serves Tamini Chachamim, and, he doesn't deal business correctly. Eid dibur benachas ibabrios, he doesn't speak nice to the people. Babrios almost love, what do people say about him? Oi lo liploni shelimot Torah. Woe to this person who studied Torah. Oi lo la'aviv shelimot Torah. Woe to his father who taught him Torah. Oi lo la'rabbi shelimot Torah. Woe to his rebbe who taught him Torah. Ploni shelimot Torah. Re'u kavamukul kolim basav the kavamukhorim durachav. This person who taught him Torah or learned Torah, look and see how awful his deeds are. Right? It's Gemara, no, Yoma, Daf, it's Gemara. So I'm saying the Rabbab's, this halach of the Rabbab, which is not even like a real concrete sin, but if someone acts, there's even inappropriate behaviors, inappropriate mitos, and people say, look how bad Torah is. So what I blogged about this week was, I was sort of comparing this to, say, other instances where people call somebody chil Hashem. So some people in the old days, you'd say, oh my gosh, you intermarried, that's a chil Hashem, right? So, sometimes, in the old days, certain sins, like Machal Shabbos, before 200 years ago, you're Machal Shabbos, that's like a you're like a mumar lahachis, you're rejecting God. Or if you, now it could be when you're intermarried, you're showing I'm rejecting God. So nowadays I'm not so sure. Now there's some people, they just love someone. They care more about their love of someone than the Torah. It's tragic. Don't be wrong. It's tragic. But I don't know if it would fit into the Rambam's definition of mumar lahachis. Okay? And then I brought other examples. You know, Peter Beinart, right? You know, so he's this, he calls himself, I'm a Jew, cares about Judaism. And what is he saying? He wants an end to the Jewish state, right? He thinks that, you know, so he, to some extent, he causes, I think, somewhat of a Chilul Hashem because he's a prominent speaker and he's a Jew. So he says, oh, look, the Jew says this. The Jew says that the Zionists are racist. You know, Zionism is racism. Or potentially, you know, if people look at people like Jeffrey Epstein or Weinstein or Bernie Madoff and say, look at Jews, they're greedy, they commit these horrible crimes. So I think that's a different level of Chilul Hashem. Adam Steiner, who's not here tonight, so he told me that, you know, Rav Abital would say that the Holocaust represented the greatest Chilul Hashem. Now, again, Chilul Hashem can simply mean that it's a disgrace, it's to God's great name. There's Hashem means there's God in his essence, where you say, Atah Kadosh V'Shem HaKadosh, God, you are holy, and your reputation is holy. So your Bechal Hashem, you are profaning the reputation of God. So if this is God's chosen nation, and they're degraded, so that's a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So I think that's like a separate category, which is, whenever Jews are degraded, so if someone, a high-profile Jew, who is, you know, does certain things, and because of that, Jews are degraded, I think that is a, you know, a big Chilul Hashem. And the Holocaust, where no Jews anything wrong, right? So that's still a Chilul Hashem because Jews are degraded. And I want to argue, though, that again, obviously, you know, it's hard to say, well, you know, how degraded are Jews versus, you know, another category. But I think, like, conceptually, there's a different type of Chilul Hashem, like what's going on now, which is more serious. Obviously, I want to say, you know, 6 million Jews died. The degrading aspect of Jews there might be greater than anything that someone does. What I'm saying is, qualitatively, there's a difference between a Chilul Hashem that there's one thing where basically there's a Chilul Hashem because the Jewish people are degraded, and there's another type of Chilul Hashem where the Torah is degraded. And what's going on here, you know, and I'm going to talk about civil disobedience, the riots and the nivel peh and the violence, and potentially also engaging in behavior where, let's say, there's near unanimous, you know, medical opinion. I'm not saying about the lockdowns themselves, but I'm saying in terms of, you know, anti-maskers, let's say where there's, you know, there clearly is, you know, an uptick and that's based on, you know, complete disregard to there being any issue. So if you are saying we don't need to mask despite we reject, you know, what the infectious disease experts say, and also we engage in violent behavior, so it's not simply that it's degrading to Jews, it's degrading to Torah, because these people are speaking in the name of Torah. So I think that's a different quality level of Chilul Hashem.
Even without the violence.
No, even without that, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, obviously, that may compound it. The nature, how severe is it, obviously? In other words, you know, so what I'm saying, based on, you know, that last category of the Rambam. In other words, someone, the greater someone is, right? And if they do something bad in the name of Torah, that's degrading to Torah. Obviously, but that's a qualitatively higher level of Chilul Hashem than simply Jews are degraded. You have Jews being degraded and also Torah's being degraded. Okay? So I think, so that's sort of like, you know, one point sort of in sort of analyzing that type of Chilul Hashem. Now, again, I think that, so what does that mean though? So let's say you believe that the Jews are being singled out, or that the lockdowns that de Blasio is promoting is advocating is too harsh, and he's being disproportionate, and he's saying that, you know what, these kind of protests are okay. What does he say? Like, you know, if you want to have a large wedding, just what do they say? You know, if you break the glass, say that was a protest, then yeah, you could have a large wedding. Okay.
What I said at the Yevanim, like Hanukkah, the Yevanim, they said no learning Torah, all this,
right,
and it was Bikol Hashem. They were protesting it.
Right. No, I understand. Right. Right. But, wait.
I would say here, yeah, it's not just religion. It's not just the Jews, because the Christians are under the same rules.
Yeah. No, I understand. Like, so again, right. So it really goes to the question of, are you allowed to engage in civil disobedience? Right? Is that a value of Judaism? So obviously, you know, we're familiar with the concept of dita debachusa dita, the law of the land is the law. We have to follow the law of the land. However, there are limitations to this. There's a halacha, the Rabbam, in Hilchos Gezeilah, Perek Hey, halacha Yadalad. So he says that you can't, you know, it's not considered, if the king makes a rule, that basically he says, you know, he says, okay, you know, I'm taking profit for you and not from someone else. So you don't necessarily have to abide by that. In other words, if the law is, I'm not saying in this case it is, but I'm saying that if the law is discriminatory, and that you could debate about that, you know.
So they have, like, pictures. They're letting they're letting black people play basketball right next to
the court. Okay. I understand. I understand. So, again, so in other words, We could maybe argue that certain lockdowns, rules might be there might be a that the rulings are inconsistent. The question is how do you if you feel they're inconsistent. So first of all, my feeling is that if indeed they're not masking and the numbers are going up, so obviously, and because of that, you know, businesses are closing, people are getting sick. There's a real strong burden you have to prove.
Black numbers were very high.
Okay, 100%. But I'm saying 100%. But Joe. Okay, 100%. No. Again. Let me make it very clear. Make it clear. I don't think two wrongs don't make a right. If what the Jews are doing, forget about what De Blasio wants, right? If Jewish groups are doing things that are causing numbers to rise, that may close schools, that may cause A, B, C, and D to happen, so then even if they're not doing that, I'm saying you still have to take that consideration. Now,
and Joe, also, I'm not justifying the people playing basketball. But there's a big difference.
Anybody who's been walking around in biofacts.
So they're not masking.
No, I could tell you
they
I was.
Masks.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was masks. In the city
okay.
today, and there were a lot of non-Jews.
I'm just like you said, a non-Jew walked down the block.
That's why the gang very upset. That they're being singled out when the reality is the numbers.
By the way, they're two separate questions. So, are you allowed to engage in civil disobedience? So, I think the Torah does believe in civil disobedience. I think that, you know, the Parsha Shmos. What do you mean? The Mialdos with Paro, right? In other words, I think the Torah has a long-standing tradition of civil disobedience. I don't think there's anything wrong with civil disobedience. The question, of course, is how. And I think that's where the issue is. There is Rabbi Tursky wrote a very strong article about this, and he cites the Gemara. He brought a Gemara at Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, where he writes that there was a time Shagasha Machus Gzeres Shliyasku B'Torah V'Shelo Yamulu Es Bnehem V'Sheyichalu Shabbosos. So there was a time where the Roman Empire made a decree that they can't learn Torah, they can't circumcise their kids, and they should violate Shabbos. Ma'asa Yehuda ben Shabua v'chaverov. So what did Yehuda ben Shabua and his friends do? Hochu v'dalu eitza b'matronisa achas. So they sought counsel from this well-connected aristocratic woman. And she called Gdolei Romi Mitzuyin Atzlo, that a lot of the higher-ups, were associated with her. Amar Lahem, she said to them, Bo v'hafgidu balayla. So you should go demonstrate at night. Hochu v'hafgidu balayla. They demonstrate at night. Amar, they said, Ishamayim, lo achechem He said, "By the sake of heaven, lo achecha adachtu, lo bnei'av echad adachtu. Aren't we brethren? Aren't we the sons of a single father? Velo bnei'av echad adachtu. Aren't we the sons of a single children of a single mother? Body shenei mikol b'avalashin. How are we different than the other nation? Right? Why are you sending us out? Shatem goes to him aleinu gzeres kashet. You're making these evil decrees." And in fact, what happened was that the decree was annulled. There's never an allowance, as far as I know, anywhere in halacha, to engage in violence, to engage in theft. You know, there's a Shulchan Aruch writes, you know, Asur Ligdo Afila Kol Shehu Din Torah. You can't steal even Derech Schok. Afila Abnas Lahach, even to return it. Okay, like the Shab Tashume Kefa. Okay, again, for Pikuach Nefesh. Okay. So my point is the following, that the Chil Hashem, I think that when if there's an uptick in COVID and the result is that people are getting sick and businesses are being closed, I think a strong argument and the near unanimous position, you know, the position of the CDC is that people should mask. Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And the near unanimous position of infectious disease experts is that you should mask. I think it could cause a chil hashem by not masking. I think even stronger, you absolutely are allowed to engage in protests to protest the mayor, for if you believe that he's singling out the Jews and he's being inconsistent, to have non-violent protests. I happen to think that we live in a polarized world, that even the most insular Jewish communities are influenced by society who feels that we could be loud and violent and disruptive. I don't know if you're more effective by being loud, violent, and disruptive. And I think that, I don't think the Torah sanctions that. I think the Torah sanctions, again, pikuach nefesh, that's a totally different story. Life and death. I don't think we're dealing with pikuach nefesh here. And I think that Judaism does believe in civil disobedience is legitimate when you feel that there's injustice. And, I think society in general, I think American society understands, it's not a violation of the Bechus Adina because, American society accepts that there will be protests.
In the Constitution.
I understand, 100%. But once you engage in violence and nivopeh, and then that's where it draws a line into causing chil hashem, irrespective of what the other side does. It's more challenging. We have to be a higher level. I mean, Lahavdil, Martin Luther King Jr., that's what he was very much promoting. He says, at the end of the day, we're only going to be successful if we engage in nonviolence. He was different than Malcolm X. I'm saying it's not just, we have to learn from Martin Luther King Jr. I think that our tradition, if you look at Chazal, and you look at stories where it has been legitimate to protest, it's not to be violent in their protests. And I think that's where the failure is. And I don't think it's like an all or nothing. But therefore, you can protest, but it has to be controlled. It has to be peaceful. It has to, at first, I think it causes a tremendous stain, not just on Jews, but on Torah itself.
So was it against the law for the U.S. to